Well, thank you for joining us today for our podcast, Conversations with Industry Icons. Today we have with us Randy Varju, who is the Foundation President, Chief Development Officer at Advocate Aurora Health. So Randy, first of all, thank you for taking time to be with us today.
Oh, my pleasure, Eddie. Anytime.
You know, it is one of the things we've enjoyed, Randy, about doing these podcasts is hear from really thought leaders in our industry. And picking their brain and trying to find out what has led to your great success. So I'm going to ask you a couple questions, if you don't mind. First of all, what is the single most important lesson you've learned in your career?
Ooh, single most important question. You know, I think it's just realization that philanthropy is more than metrics, and that it's more than dollars raised. You know, I think there's different balances that we have to keep in check. And in my case, you know, I think in healthcare, we're so metrics driven. We're so driven by everything that goes from, you know, the telemetry unit to blood pressure screening to pacing and dosage of medications. All of that can relate to philanthropy and what we are really driven to or inspired to see more of. So, you know, I think in our case, we're so focused on the outcomes that we also have to look at what are those activities that we do control that drive those outcomes. And that really was eye-opening for me to realize that in a healthcare setting, there's certain prescriptions that you can move forward with to have a predictable outcome. And in philanthropy, you're managing relationships, but we're tracking metrics in many different ways that hopefully can drive some of those outcomes or influence more of those outcomes that we aspire to have. And, you know, I think the danger there and the lesson learned is that when we focus in so much on the metrics that they no longer become meaningful or representation of an individual or their aspirations or their philanthropic intentions, they tend to become more of a number on a graph or a dashboard or something that we can check to see if someone is putting in all of the contact reports. You know, so I think there's this risk that we run of becoming overly mechanical, and yet there are ways for us to be intentional and strategic and still be genuine. And I think that's really the deliverable that I hold myself accountable for, and I hope our team also sees as value in the metrics that we are tracking, that there's interpretation of the data, and it's what the data is telling us that will drive for more of those outcomes. It's not meant to be a database that we report into, and we have to have these reports done by such and such date. It's what are we doing to really look deeper and see what the data is telling us, and what can we change to have more impact for the institution that we serve. And I think that's really a challenge that most of our shops face, because we're so driven by the dollars that we raise as the ultimate measure of whether or not we're successful. And I think benchmarking also looks at that. How do we compare with other institutions of like size or similar makeup? And what are we doing differently that helps us raise more dollars? So, you know, I guess I also ask the question, what does high performance look like? What does success look like in a philanthropic shop of our size? Is it really based on how much we raise or how many dollars we bring to the bottom line? Or is it more reflective of every donor feeling that this is the most fulfilling gift that they've ever made? There's really a balance there. And I don't think it's not an either or. I think there are ways for us to achieve both of those in support of the mission and purposes that we serve.
I tell you, Randy, I hope a lot of people just listen to what you said. That is the heart of philanthropy. You know, two Greek words, philo and anthropos, which is the love of mankind, human beings. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. Wanting what is best for the donor is always what's best for us. That was just brilliant. That was so well stated. We can hang up right now and be incredibly successful.
You're way too kind, Eddie. Thanks.
Let me ask you a more difficult question, but I think one that's just as revealing. When you look back over your career, what's the biggest mistake you've made professionally, and what did you learn from it?
Wow. Boy, there's a whole spectrum of mistakes, but you know, when you raise the question, there's one or two that stand out. So the first one, I think, is underestimating the reluctance that others have around joining us for solicitation calls. You know, I think for some, it ranks up there in the stress levels of public speaking, or, you know, you name whatever stressors people have in a given day. And it's just so foreign for people that, you know, we have to somehow make it more accessible. We have to have it more relatable to something that they can pace and see the outcomes more predictably. So a good example is early in my tenure in healthcare, I was with a hospital president, and she was very reluctant to join me on a solicitation. But instead, I said, well, let me script it for you. And I scripted out all of the different components of a typical solicitation, everything from introduction to setting the stage to envisioning the strategy and what the future could look like with this gesture, and then wrapping up with a thank you. Well, in scripting it so specifically, the mistake I made was that I didn't anticipate her level of understanding. And as part of that solicitation, she was actually reading the script. So from there, I realized that, okay, this is meant to be more of a flow of a conversation, much like we're having here. There's an intent, there's a sequence, there's deliverables, but there's also a flow of genuine conversation. So over the course of several solicitations, she got it really well. And, you know, I think that insight helped me with other physicians even. You know, we're dealing with people that are very competent and capable in their fields and very knowledgeable. But when they get into this unfamiliar territory, they can freeze up. So I had two physicians join me for a solicitation, and I scripted it out, but I didn't offer the specific wording. It was more, when we sit down for dinner, here's what I'll say, and here's what this invites you to then talk about. So listen for different cues. When I say this, this is what I'm transitioning to, and this is what I'm looking for you to ask or talk about. So that tended to work really well, as opposed to the scripting. And I think just helping people understand that there's a flow, but there's also a role that we play as the professionals to make sure that this isn't awkward for them. And that provides some reassurance. And in each case where it's worked well, I've never had an instance where someone came back and said, well, I never want to do that again. It's always been quite the contrary. It's like, that was just so fulfilling and so inspirational. Let's do that again. And here's three other people I can line up with. So, you know, I think that's one of the mistakes. Another one that stands out is in our roles, in the boardrooms, in the executive suite, you know, I think many times we have to defend philanthropy in different ways. And we almost have to speak different languages for who we're talking to, whether it's the finance person, whether it's the CEO, whether it's, you know, a colleague in a different area. And I think sometimes we look at philanthropy as fundraising or just dollars that are coming in, as opposed to the purpose that those dollars are serving. And instead, we have to really build off of that nomenclature to build in an understanding of what value these philanthropic relationships are illustrating in terms of loyalty or stakeholders in the community. So it's not just dollars, it's actual patients that are expressing a true gratitude for the care that they've received or for the resource that this represents in the communities that we serve. So in our case, it's broadening that understanding that, you know, when we get a philanthropic gesture from an individual, it's an expression of many things working well, whether it's the physicians are engaged, the team members are committed, the patients are then grateful, and many times that's an expression then of paying it forward through a philanthropic gesture that gives them control as opposed to being given all of these different reasons that they need to do this differently or watch this part of their diet. This gives them control and allows them to really drive those actions for others. And instead of just looking at it in terms of philanthropy or fundraising, when we're talking about the dollars that we're raising, we're talking about stakeholder equity in the communities that we serve, because it really is the culmination of patient satisfaction scores, engagement scores of our team members, our physician satisfaction scores. So philanthropy in many ways is the culmination of all of those pieces working well together. And if we can elevate it to that level, then we'll be much more part of the culture that we need to be.
Oh my, Randy, Such wisdom. Such wisdom. I really mean that. If you know anything about me, you know, I believe in being candid. And that was just brilliant. It's ultimately about helping the donor, building a relationship and helping them fulfill a vision, isn't it? That's just beautifully stated. Well,
absolutely is.
Randy, I want to tell you how much I appreciate you taking time. I've kept you a little bit longer than I promised. I apologize for that, but I'm not apologetic to give you more time to share that wisdom. You're a great leader in our industry, and you're respected. I want you to know that.
Well, thanks so much, Eddie. And, you know, also thank you for the role that you play in our profession in support of so many educational forums that advance what we're capable of doing. And, you know, it's through partnership with people like you that we're all able to excel and provide more impact. So thanks for that.
Thank you. Well, you've had a tremendous opportunity today to listen to Randy Varju, who is the president and chief development officer at Advocate Aurora Health, a great professional, someone that so many of us look up to for his wisdom and his leadership, and you've seen that displayed today. So thank you all for joining us. Randy, thank you especially for joining us.
My pleasure, Eddie. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us on this podcast today. We look forward to our next podcast where we have a conversation with industry icons. Hope that you have a great day. Let's go out and make a difference in the lives of people who desperately need us to excel today. Thank you for joining us.